Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia. Our podcast, Talking About Vandalia with Mayor Doug Knable, is brought to you in part by F&B Community Bank, Heck Chevrolet, Joe's Pizza and Pasta in Vandalia, and Kaskaskia Supply and Rental. Well, I thought we'd get started. One of the things talked about last night a little bit, had a presentation about a new city website potentially coming down the road a little bit. And I know that was something that you had talked about wanting to see happen, was some upgrades when it came to the website, when it came to just, you know, IT stuff as a whole.
Yeah, so we had a presentation from a company last night that not only will allow us to upgrade our website, but then also offer an app version, a mobile app. You know, again, lots of part of just the commitment to continue to be transparent, to get as much information out as quickly to the masses as we can. You know, right now we rely a lot on social media. You know, we'll continue to do that in some form. But, you know, this new app and this new, not only the mobile app, which will directly tie into our new website, will, you know, just have a lot of features that we currently don't have access to. So, you know, there won't be, you know, we'll be able to have a calendar type situation under people can click on the calendar, you know, find out information of events that are going on. You know, when we go to the electronic payment system, we'll be able to link into that as well. You know, just trying to make things easier, more transparent, you know, for the consumer in the end.
Yeah, and you guys have talked a lot about the online payments and things like that, and you've got the technology now, but you could probably clean it up quite a bit with a new website.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, again, if you look at our website, it, you know, there's a lot of information there, but it's dated, you know, and what we saw in the presentation last night, it's just a fresh look, you know. It's going to allow us to, you know, to post videos and things like that that we currently don't do. You know, it's one thing to have it. You've got to make sure we update it, you know, and having this new system, having the app capabilities will allow us to, again, not only get information out quicker, but also help us to allow us to keep that information current, you know, and be more active in that process.
So changing gears a little bit, you talked about Growth Alliance, Civic Advancement Group, something you've been talking about really pretty close to the whole time you've been mayor.
Sure.
Really moving forward with that now.
Yeah, so the concept is, you know, we've said, you know, we've got lots of different organizations that have a significant impact on the community. It just makes sense that if we can all work together, you know, kind of on that unified front. You know, you've got the city, the county, the school, park district, YMCA, hospital. You know, if we can all just pool our resources, you know, identify what the needs are in the community and take it from a regional approach versus the city focusing on just, well, this only applies to the city or the county, only to the county. I mean, again, I think it's just going to be something that's really effective in that we are, again, speaking in a unified voice, all knowing what our ultimate goals are and working together to try to achieve them.
The bottom line is anything that's going to benefit the county is going to benefit everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
Really here.
Yeah, thus the regional growth concept, right? You know, and Vandalia Civic Advancement was an organization created back, you know, got some files that show that it was back in the 1940s. And, you know, it was at the time, you know, kind of the entity that local business leaders used to go and entice other businesses to come to the area. They even acquired property and were able to either sell it or donate it at a low price. And again, this is back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. So, you know, a lot of those businesses that you see out that are still out there, those buildings, that's where this came from. So, I kind of describe it more as a bigger chamber of commerce, right? Chamber, we have a very good chamber of commerce, a very active chamber, the chamber, I think, in my opinion, is as strong as it's been in a long time. However, their focus is to their members, to their business community. So with this regional growth alliance concept, it takes it to the next step. Obviously, the chamber will be a part of this as well, but it allows us to focus on things that maybe are just more than just business related, right? You know, again, you know, what impacts our parks, impacts our schools, our healthcare system, you know, city and county. So again, just a collaborative effort between the stakeholders in the community, and you know, I'm really excited about it.
Kind of update on the water treatment plant. Sounds like things moving along really well.
Yeah, that continues. to move well. We had our construction meeting last week. You know, we should start seeing the building itself go up sometime in February. Matter of fact, Lee, our engineer, was there last night talking about, you know, his update, and, you know, said by the time he's here at our February meeting that we should see, you know, additional progress out there. So, yeah, progressing well. Then the, you know, the water lines that go along with that, the, you know, the new intake lines that are being placed, that's a kind of a separate project, even though it all ties in together. You know, those are moving nicely. Now, the weather, the current weather we have could have a little bit of an impact on that, but things are moving, you know, moving on time, on pace, currently pretty much on budget. So, you know, they're always the concern when you get a big project like that is, are there going to be significant change orders? To date, there hasn't been. And based on the significant amount of progress we've seen so far, I would, you know, I really don't anticipate anything huge.
You know, kind of thinking about the engineering report last night, a lot of things are getting completed. So it's getting, a lot of things are getting wrapped up now.
Yeah. So the Oslod grant, which is the money we spent out the lake, was $600,000. That's done, just waiting, you know, on final, I think final payment, final invoice, you know, kind of sign off. You know, Randolph Street, we've talked about. That project is done. But I think Lee mentioned last night, still waiting on IDOT official sign off, I guess, on that. That could take a few months. You know, and then the safe route to schools, you know, the new sidewalk that went from Kaskaskia to our elementary and junior high, you know, that's all done. And, you know, we've talked about this in the past. It's now phases, right? So now the next round, you know, we've mentioned, you know, the water lines in the Thistle Shelley area, you know, that's on the radar. And then, you know, again, everything's a cycle. The state did award a new round of Oslod grants last week. You know, we did not apply for one because we'd gotten one recently with the lake. I think the park district had applied for one. I don't believe they were successful. So, but, you know, then again, that's a cycle. So that'll come around later this year. You know, we'll anticipate applying, you know, for additional money there as well. He also mentioned then, you know, we talked about the lake a lot with the siltation. So we did have that group out of the University of Illinois come do the siltation study. And we are supposed to be having a meeting with them sometime, hopefully before the end of the month, to kind of get the results. And, you know, and that helps us within that watershed plan we've talked about, you know, to take that to the next step to see how we address some of the concerns out at the lake.
So you brought that up, kind of taking the next step. And I did want to mention, because you mentioned it last night, that Economic Development Commission, the second meeting we had, talking about housing, and you guys are going to follow up on that.
Yeah. So at that meeting, in December, we had Alex Benachek from Mattoon, who has a lot of experience in housing initiatives. And Letitia and I went and met with him again last week. He's going to, you know, kind of on a small consulting basis, help us get some of these programs going, some of the initiatives we want to talk about. So, along those lines, you know, Zach Kopp and I went around yesterday and spent about 2 hours just driving through the community looking at houses. And one of the initiatives we plan on taking a part of is basically a way to go and assess the inventory of the homes that you have in the community, give them certain ratings, and it helps you to identify which areas need the most attention. And, you know, so that's one of the housing initiatives we're talking about. Also then, just from a code enforcement, you know, how do we streamline the process? You know, there are some properties that we've had a lot of success. Zach's done a nice job of getting access to properties. You know, we've got 3 bids that are due this week for buildings or homes that are just beyond repair that need to come down. So, you know, he tries to do 3 or 4 a year based on what his budget allows for. You know, I told him yesterday, you know, that's something as we come into the new budget season, we need to consider, do we need to up that? Because again, a lot of things, there are a lot of people comment, you know, the appearance of the community, you know, the safety aspect, and a part of that plays into the fact that, you know, there are homes that, you know, need some severe attention. So we need to put those programs in place. And so, yeah, excited to come, you know, to get that process started. And, you know, hopefully in March, you know, we'll have kind of a more detailed plan of what a few of those initiatives look like and to get the council's buy-in.
I know one thing that they did talk about was homes that might not be beyond disrepair. Maybe somebody could go in, fix those up, and make those a home going forward. So I guess that's a possibility too with some.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it seems like in the past, you know, a lot of people are like, well, this house just needs to go down. Well, maybe, You know, we try to assess them. You know, is it salvageable, right? And it's difficult in this environment just because, you know, supply prices are higher than they have been. And, you know, what is the economics of it? You know, is it worth putting additional money in? Obviously, the city's not going to do that. That would take some kind of developer to be willing to do that. Again, we shouldn't automatically default to, well, the house has to come down. And I think Zach does a pretty nice job of getting into the properties and saying, yeah, this is something we can work with, or yeah, this is really beyond repair, and it just needs to be something that comes down. In a perfect world, these houses come down. It's a vacant lot. Maybe somebody buys a lot, maybe put something on it. But then again, as you get in some of these neighborhoods and, you know, some of these properties that are in pretty bad shape and they come down, we hope you just kind of get a spirit of community going in that area. See, people see, hey, well, that eyesore is down. You know, now I feel like investing in my property to build it up. Because it's tough to do sometimes when you want to put money in your property when the property right next door to you, you know, is, you know, needs some significant help. And we've got those areas. And again, that's definitely going to be a focus in 2026 is, you know, assessing our home inventory, the condition of it is, and what plan it is to address some of those major concerns.
So the next two kind of tie in, site readiness plan. I know you applied for that grant, the way Lee talked about it last night. Sounds like whoever applied in December might be the last ones for a little bit. So still waiting on word on that.
Yeah, we did. We got our application submitted before the end of the year. And yeah, based on what Lee, the engineer, said last night, that it sounds like after the December applications are reviewed and the money is awarded, that the funds are going to be gone. So we haven't had any feedback from anybody as far as how our application looks. You know, we've got our fingers crossed, cautiously optimistic. You know, as we've said in the past, if we, you know, are fortunate enough to be awarded, you know, that allows that 115 acres out there to literally be shovel ready. So you know, we're hopeful, and we're anxiously anticipating some kind of response, and could be coming anytime, hopefully by the end of the month.
So that tied in a little bit to just asking a follow-up on data centers. Now it's been basically close to a week since. It's gotten out more in the public on the data centers. Just kind of the thought on anything you've heard from folks.
Yeah, well, I mean, you see a lot of, obviously the topic you see a lot of comments on. And so, you know, we discussed this last week, you know, the takeaway from that first meeting when we talked about it is there is more information that needs to be gathered. And we will involve the community. So I think the next step, you know, we actually could be receiving a letter of intent from a company that would have interest in maybe some of the land out at the 115 acres. So if that happens, and again, we have every reason to believe it's going to, then that starts the process of involving the community, all of the stakeholders, you know, to ask the questions, the pros, the cons, what's the ins, the outs. You know, as again, when it came away from that meeting the other day, it talked about, this is the planning stage, right? So we want to make sure if this is an avenue or a path we want to go down, that we put in place all the safeguards that, you know, other communities are doing this. So it's not like we're the only ones out there. So we can, you know, again, reach out to other communities, see what's worked for them, what hasn't. But again, all along the way, we're continue to be transparent, open, and we want input from the community. You know, again, there's a lot of information out there. We just have to make sure we're getting the accurate, you know, information and make the decisions based on that accordingly.
You know, and one thing that I hadn't really thought about at the time, but I have since, is if you have a data center here, that's going to improve your data download.
Sure.
For sure. And that's something that potential prospects definitely look at when they come into a community is, how is your internet access? How are those kind of things? That's one of the things they look at. Sometimes the very first thing they look at when they get to town.
Well, especially in the world we live now, we all have our cell phones in front of us, and we're streaming, whether it's on your phone or at home. And then again, you know, what a center out here would look like would be probably based on the scale of what they were talking about the other day. Is it would, you know, it would allow, again, I'm using this as an example, Netflix to stream quicker, right? And that's what people want to see that. What kind of technology do you have? What capabilities do you have? You know, part of it is, what kind of power supply do you have? Do you have enough capacity to handle something like that? But ultimately is, the farther you get away from the cities, from the other data centers, you know, it's all about making the process quicker. You know, again, making streaming quicker, making the gathering of data quicker. So that's kind of where we see us fitting. in that model. And again, we'll just, you know, we'll continue to have the conversation. And still, again, I keep saying this, a lot to learn. By all means, don't have the answers, but I think it's worth, you know, it's worth investigating. Again, it can potentially lead to significant investment, if structured correctly, could lead to jobs, you know, tax revenue that's not necessary, you know, it's not an additional burden on our taxpayers. And, you know, we're always looking for alternate sources of revenue, you know, to continue to do what we need to do at the city without raising the actual individual burden, whether it's property taxes, sales taxes, things like that. So the more we could generate from an outside source like that, the better off the community is.
Again, thank you for listening to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia with Mayor Doug Knable. This podcast is brought to you in part by F&B Community Bank, Heck Chevrolet, Joe's Pizza and Pasta in Vandalia, and Kaskaskia Supply and Rental. You can find all of our podcasts under our podcast tab on our website at vandaliaradio.com.